This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome on into our 7 o'clock rainy hour of sports talk. It is storming outside. Hope you and yours are safe, not driving through this mess right now. I'm going to do a big wrap-up on the LSU baseball season this hour. The Tigers falling to UNC North Carolina last night, 4-3, to get bounced in the championship game of the Chapel Hill Regional. And the Tigers end up with a 43-23 record on the year for the season, 13-17 in SEC play. And I think all the fans out there, you know what a tough go it was for this team to start the year. Definitely didn't go as planned early on in the goings, but man, oh man, they never gave up. They were always fight, always were in tight games, just always seemed to come out on the losing end in SEC play. Man, especially those Sunday games were ended up being just miserable for this team. But at the end of the year, really put it together, and that final sweep and the regular season finale was huge for this squad going into the SEC tournament, which just kind of carried them all the way even into their regional play. Unfortunately, not a glorious ending as we would have expected, though.
They dug themselves a huge hole, and then they dug out of that hole.
Right.
And they still made it to the postseason. I mean, based off of that 4-1 run in Hoover, that was obviously memorable. Some great games in that stretch, even in Chapel Hill. And so there was a stat that I saw last night. ESPN had this on the broadcast that LSU, dating back to last year, they were, like, I think 4-0 in elimination games in the College World Series. And then this year in the Chapel Hill Regional, they were 2-0 in those elimination games. They won both games on Sunday, beating Wofford and UNC to force that Game 7 winner-take-all battle against North Carolina for all the marbles, right, to move on to the Super Regional round. And they just fell short. And so Mike has used the term like a cat with nine lives, right? And that's what this team felt for a while. But, I mean, you're looking at where they ended up. If you would have told us after that 3-12 start that they would have made it to a championship of a regional and been one game away from hosting a Super, I think that would have shocked a lot of people. But, I mean, we're about to listen to the Jay Johnson audio here. He talked about, you know, the kind of roller coaster season that was 2024, where you start out as the preseason number two team, the defending national champions, bringing back some talent, adding some new faces, and you get off to a great start in non-conference play. But those first 5 weeks of the SEC buried them. But they were able to get out of it and make postseason play. And they, once again, were basically an inning away from hosting a Super Regional. It was as crazy of a roller coaster ride as I can remember for this LSU baseball team, Steve. It was insane, honestly, to cover.
I think you and Mike Dettillier ended up talking to Todd Walker, SEC baseball analyst and former LSU Tiger, about this, that fact that this year for Jay Johnson, hella impressive as a head coach. Obviously, last year was kind of, you had the horses to just, you know, let them free, go do what you want. But this year, Jay really had to do his job as a coach, and was, you know, from lineups to, you know, the batting order and pitching rotation, it was a struggle all year long for him.
If anyone thinks that Jay Johnson is not the right guy to lead the program, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I mean, he won the national championship last year. This team could have easily given up. 3-12 start to SEC play. They could have just thrown it down, been like, okay, we'll try better next year. No, they made that push, Steve. They won. They went 10-5 to finish out the regular season schedule in the SEC, and then they went 4-1 in Hoover. And once again, they made this run in the Chapel Hill Regional. They just came up slightly short. And it's disappointing, but at the same time, it's impressive what they accomplished after that slow start. Like, no one expected them to be there after 3-12 in SEC play, and they still made it all the way, one inning away from a super regional round.
Definitely a bummer. The defending champs will not repeat. They won't even get a chance to head to Omaha. But, man, oh, man, that shot at hosting a super regional is right within grasp. They came up just short. Let's hear what Jay Johnson had to say after the game. You can definitely hear disappointment, like Charlie mentioned, but still a very proud coach of his team and what they were able to accomplish. Here's Jay Johnson.
Congratulations to North Carolina. First time I've been here, played here, and tremendous program. Great leadership with Coach Forbes. They have great players. We held the trophy last year, and, you know, I am equally proud of my team and our program today as I was that day. And, you know, where we were, you know, middle of SEC play to right now is one of the most gratifying coaching years of my entire life. And I love these guys, the achievement, the accomplishment. I mean, that's obviously what we're here to do. Literally means nothing to me. I have a broken heart just simply because I wanted to go to practice on Wednesday. And I love these guys. I mean, this is special right here, what this young man did tonight. He's an elite pitcher. Somebody should sign him. If anybody in professional baseball is paying attention, they'll sign Will Helmers. But last year he wasn't even on the roster in Omaha. But you're allowed the 40-person deal, and you can figure out who the first person, you know, I would put on there as an extra was Will, because of what he means to our team and our program. In true team fashion, never one time in the 3 years that I've known him asked what was in it for him or status or anything. It was all about LSU baseball and our program. He's probably the best example of what we want to be about, what being a man is all about. And I'm certainly proud of him and proud of our team. I'll never forget this week the rest of my life. Congratulations again to North Carolina, but broken heart tonight.
Coach, how will you remember this season?
Just as I said, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of great teams and go a little further than this. But my heart's full right now. Like I said, I'm sad. I'm really sad. I'd give anything to practice on Wednesday and get ready for a super regional at home. But it's because of these guys. The resiliency. You know, you coach long enough, you can understand maybe why we were where we were a little better than the average person. But to come out of it, like, nobody does that. And to take, you know, they might win it. They have the pieces to win the national title. They're built for the ballpark in Omaha. They do a terrific job coaching. And we're right there, you know. I mean, if we go to check swing, strike three, there's two outs right there. We don't get to extra innings. And I don't know if it was or it wasn't, but it's that close. And when you're on the road against a great opponent, it's a small margin for error. But in terms of how I'll remember this, I'm good. I got all the peace in the world right now about what these guys did, and I'm so proud of them.
Your team obviously played on the biggest stage last season out in Omaha, but the two games between these two teams the last couple of nights, I mean, has it been pretty befitting of some high caliber, you know, tournament baseball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, hey, you got to put somebody somewhere. Like, this is just, if we didn't play this week, we probably would have played next week, you know, and somebody would have had to lose. I'm honored to be a part of a game like that. I'm honored to be a part of a regional like this. And like I said, my whole life is built around Omaha and getting these guys there. And literally, like, the College World Series only meant, like, we could keep doing what we were doing. because it was, there was something incredibly special about it. And it's hard right now. And it's not about putting another banner up or any of that. It's like, I did not want to step out of this deal that we had going on in our lives right now.
Hey, Coach, just kind of how this game encapsulates the past month and a half for you guys, you know, piecing together things, guys just finding a way to give yourself a chance to win. Feel that tonight?
Yeah. I mean, outside of maybe one more hit, you know, we had a guy in third with two outs in the first. I think there was a guy in second in the fourth or the fifth, you know, with two outs, to maybe get a little bit more of a spread, to put a little more pressure, you know, on them. But I mean, he was unbelievable. Like, I mean, we left them in, just I did not think they were seeing him very well. 71 pitches, got to be a career high, obviously. He might have thrown more at South Carolina last year. And talk about a story. You know, we're leaving him in to save the rest of the team when we're getting beat 13-4 or something like that to this tonight. And then I felt great about where we were. I thought Nate was a completely different look than him. And I thought, I mean, Gage is completely different than both of them. And we'd set this plan in motion before we came here that that's what we would do. And they executed. You know, I mean, Gallagher got it going. So there's no way we were going to let him beat us, you know, again right there. And you credit Madera for staying on the ball and putting the ball in play. And it was just like the whole game there at the end, we were this close. I mean, if we don't, I don't know what happened on the fly ball or the line drive. Ball was scorched. I don't know what happened, but like if that's caught, we're in the dugout. It's a different deal. I mean, they have to play, and let's say everything else plays the same, they have to play tighter to be able to throw him out on a ball hit, and Josh's ball gets over his head, and we're in a super regional, and it's just that thin. But I'm good because of how we prepared and how we competed.
LSU head coach Jay Johnson after the Tigers' 4-3 loss to North Carolina, bouncing them from the postseason. And now, you know, it's back to the recruiting trail and getting ready for the MLB draft coming up soon.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the teams, you know, which players obviously move on to the draft. We know that multiple players are moving on through graduation and running out of eligibility. At the same time, Mike and I talked a little bit about this, Steve. It feels like you've got a couple core pieces in place that developed throughout the year, freshmen,
right,
that will be back next year, that are going to be key pieces for a contending 2025 roster. Steven Milam was fantastic, especially at the end of the year. Ashton Larson showed some glimpses. Jake Brown, people criticized him for the error in right field in the 10th inning. I understand, but he also had a solo home run in that game. We can't forget, without that, they're not even in extra innings. Jake Brown had his, you know, games as well. Had some flashes also in Hoover. Cade Anderson is one of those guys on the mound, a freshman that's a key piece moving forward.
Would imagine him in the rotation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some guys that developed throughout the 2024 season that you can see getting clear run in 2025 and beyond that will help this team next year compete, once again, as Jay Johnson was saying, to get that ultimate goal and get back to Omaha.
We're going to get back into more LSU baseball after the break. Talk to Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com. Get his thoughts on last night's game, the Tigers' run through the postseason, and what lies ahead next year for LSU baseball. Be right back with more sports talk right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing to put a bow on the LSU baseball season, the Tigers going down in the Chapel Hill Regional Championship game, 4-3 in 10 innings over North Carolina. Helping us break it all down and talk about the what's ahead for the Tigers, Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Glenn, how you been, man? Surviving last night's game?
Yeah, it was a long night, for sure. Really up until the final three outs there, you felt like LSU might be able to pull that one out. And unfortunately, it was just not meant to be. Made some mistakes late, and it cost them. But really, that's kind of been the microcosm, I think, of this entire season for LSU so far.
Was really amazing to see, obviously, the bullpen coming up strong for this Tiger team. The bats, though, just ended up going dry against this North Carolina pitching staff. Overall, though, man, oh, man, you just love to see the fight, the passion, the want from this team. Unfortunately, in the end, you just came up short.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that is probably the biggest takeaway you can have over the last month or so. This team was playing pretty much postseason baseball from the time they started at 3-12 in SEC play, and then were able to win four of their next five SEC series, get themselves into tournament conversation after kind of really struggling there in the early part of conference play. And major credit to the players and certainly the coaching staff for not kind of throwing in the towel on the season. I thought that some of the young players really came along towards the end of the year. Steven Milam, Ashton Larson, Jake Brown. These are all guys that are going to be back next year and playing major roles for you. And the fact that LSU was not only able to make a deep run at the SEC tournament, in large part because of what those guys contributed, but also to kind of fight back there over those final three games and get into really the final inning of a chance to kind of host baseball at the box was a really remarkable turnaround. And you could hear it last night in Jay Johnson's quotes. He was very emotional. This was a very different year, obviously, than what transpired last year, where LSU was pretty much the number one team in the country for most of the year. This one had some ebbs and flows and some unpredictability to it. And the fact that they were able to kind of come back and make a season of this shows that fight that you were talking about, some character. I think that was that's going to be something that resonates with Johnson for quite a while as he kind of tries to retool this roster this offseason.
He called it gratifying, which was, a good term in my opinion, Glenn. And I mean, the roller coaster that you talked about where, yes, you start out the season as the number two team, the defending national champions. You get off to a great start in non-conference play. You win that tournament out in Houston. And then, as you mentioned, the 3-12 start with that gauntlet early season in the SEC. But then not giving up, right, and grinding your way back into things. And when it came down to Ole Miss, you have to sweep the Rebels to get into the postseason conversation, get on the right side of the bubble with that 13-win mark in SEC play, and they do it. And they don't just do that. They go into the SEC tournament in Hoover, and they beat not just one, but two top eight national seeds in Georgia and Kentucky. And then they beat, you know, South Carolina twice, losing the final to Tennessee. It's just been a roller coaster. And even like you kind of talked about Chapel Hill as well. But I want to bring up the point that you made about the freshmen that developed throughout the year, because I think they're going to be supremely important for 2025. And we've talked with a couple different reporters about this, that, you know, heading into this year, when Joe Healy came on D1 Baseball Reporter, he said that LSU will go as far as their sophomores take them. And he was mentioning kind of the trio of Paxton Kling and Brady Neal and Jared Jones. And Jared Jones was obviously a great bat in the lineup the whole year. Paxton Kling and Brady Neal were a little bit up and down as the season progressed. But if you're looking at the three freshmen this year in the lineup that you had mentioned, but also I'll throw in Cade Anderson as well on the mound, it seems like they've got some pieces here that they developed throughout the season in, once again, Jake Brown, Ashton Larson, Stephen Milam, and Cade Anderson that could be really, really important for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, those are going to be your pillars next year, right? I mean, those are the young kind of foundational pieces that Jay Johnson was able to bring aboard. And it's really a credit to those players, because, you know, I was watching a lot of fall ball, and Stephen Milam was really not a guy that looked like he was going to be playing a whole ton, you know, come spring. And credit to him for, you know, making some adjustments and during the winter break, came back and was pretty much thrust in the lineup from the opening weekend and never really left. I mean, he was just a really model of consistency for LSU all season long, and it really was a standout defensive player as well. So, you mentioned those four. I would probably also throw in Chase Shores and Jaden Newt. Those are two pitchers that they're going to get back who are coming off injury next year. Those are really high caliber, you know, kind of starters for you that I think can help kind of, you know, make that transition here as you move on from the Tommy Whites of the world and some of the pillar players that have been there for you the last couple of years. You kind of get this new wave of guys that I think LSU's really going to be able to lean into. The lefty Cam Johnson's got a very interesting decision ahead of him. Obviously did not play a whole ton this first year, but has just oozes potential and promise. So LSU gets him back in the fold and developed right. You mentioned Paxton Kling and Brady Neal. Those guys are guys that need development in the program. You know, that they have very interesting decisions ahead for them as well in terms of do they hit the transfer portal or do they stay. There's a good young core here, but there's also a lot that needs to be hashed out here over the next couple weeks to see what this next year's roster actually looks like.
Glenn, have you heard anything about freshman Jake Brown? Because you know how great social media is, and it has been pretty brutal on the kid for having that drop out in the outfield. I know it's obviously a massive blow for this Tiger team, but man, people are brutal. I'm just wondering how the kid from Louisiana is doing.
Ridiculous, by the way. I mean, you can't blame Jake Brown for that loss at all. He had a solo home run in the game, and they wouldn't even be in that position if he didn't have that. And also, I mean, you had one hit from the fourth through the 10th innings. It's not just Jake Brown's fault that the offense was held quiet by an elite pitching staff and defense of North Carolina.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there on that last point. I mean, the offense just went completely dry on them. They had, I think, one runner in scoring position over the final seven innings. And like you mentioned, just the one hit. That's where LSU lost this game, in my opinion. But certainly the big play in the outfield is one that I think, just in talking with Jake Brown a couple of times this year after games, very headstrong young man, guy that I think is going to be able to shrug it off and come back even stronger next year. You're right. He was a huge reason that LSU was even in this position. He came through with a couple of really clutch hits throughout the weekend that even got them into this position to be playing on that Monday game. So very bright future for him, for Larson, for Milam, for Cade Anderson. Very high on those four guys. Now it's just about supplementing the rest of the roster and seeing who can come, you know, kind of fill in around them. And you know, I think another big question mark here is going to be what happens with guys like Jared Jones and Griffin Herring. Those are two sophomores who are draft eligible, guys who obviously were staples for your team this year if Jay Johnson can convince one or two of them to come back next year, I think you feel a whole lot better about where things are with the roster.
Absolutely. And if you're looking at it, Glenn, you know, it's too early to really tell because you do have those question marks about guys like Jones and Herring and other guys that could be going off to the draft. I think Jump is another one that's got question marks too. So, but at the same time, as we're early in the process, but what are kind of some positions that you would think that Johnson's going to take a look at in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I would think they probably look for another couple starting pitchers. You know, they're losing Holman and Jump. I would imagine both of those two guys sign. You know, obviously you're losing Tommy White over at third base, so you're going to need another infielder. It's going to be tough to find another Tommy White in the transfer portal, but Jay's probably going to try. So, you know, they've got to find another infielder that can, you know, move the offense and also be a pretty good defensive, you know, centerpiece for them. I think, you know, it's really going to come down to retention and then a couple of portal players here for LSU, because they do have a pretty stout freshman class that's coming in. You know, they might lose two or three guys at the very, very top of this draft. But everything that I've heard and read about this upcoming draft in July is that it's going to be very centered on college players. You know, it doesn't seem to be a very deep high school pool of players that I think a lot of these teams feel like they can get into their system and offer them a bunch of money out of high school. Like, I think that Jay Johnson is going to be able to work some magic and get a good portion of this freshman and JUCO class that he signed onto campus next year, and a lot of those guys are going to have to step up. But certainly, I think you're looking at catcher, you're looking at a starting pitcher, you're looking at another infielder to kind of help supplement the roster from what you're losing this year.
Glenn, looking at the end of game decision last night for Coach Jay Johnson, and man, I said it kind of earlier with everyone, the fact that I have no reason to second guess him. I think he's a phenomenal coach. But just that decision at the end of the game to go with Gage Jump to toss after, you know, throwing over 100 pitches the other night.
Yeah, I think that's a decision that they probably make going into the weekend. Like, if we are sitting in that Monday game and we are down to our final three outs and we have a lead, there's nobody on this staff that I trust more than to throw than Gage Jump to get you through those three outs. And I think that was probably the mindset there. Have no problem with it. Look, Ackenhausen did a nice job in the eighth by striking out the side. I guess in the moment you could certainly see a scenario where you throw him out there to start the ninth. But the fact that I think they threw Jump in that ninth and tenth inning really shows me, or told me, that they had that kind of predetermined, that that's what the plan was going to be. And, you know, unfortunately, just he got teed up a little bit. You know, they made some good swings on some bats, on some balls. You know, that kind of bloop single there was a great pitch. He just kind of got the right part of it and just enough to be outstretched for or to kind of fall into that left center or left shallow left field there to kind of get that scoring run home. But that was a good pitch by Gage Jump in the ninth inning. And so, you know, I think you kind of live with, you know, your results there. And certainly, you know, Jay is not one to second guess anything that he does. I think he has a very firm plan in mind, and, you know, it just didn't work out. I think that's just as simple as that.
And then, you know, looking, Glenn, at the rest of the College World Series as we get to those final eight teams after the Super Regional round this upcoming weekend, UNC was so impressive. I mean, they just felt like a complete team top to bottom. Like, they had some star power. I think they have one of the best outfields in all of college baseball with that trio of outfielders. And then, obviously, with Honeycutt and D'Onofrio and also Cook. I mean, they're just so good out there. But also the defense that they played in that LSU game last night, it just felt that, you know, even though LSU only had one hit for those final seven innings, basically, they had a couple of well-hit balls. It was just great defensive plays by UNC. The pitching staff is obviously excellent. They've got some good hitters. I mean, if you're looking at the contenders for the College World Series in 2024, if you're not saying North Carolina is the number one team, they got to definitely be up there.
Yeah, I would say North Carolina is probably in that same mix with Tennessee, with Texas A&M. I think those three teams are kind of my top three in terms of just talent and you know, guys who are returning or guys or teams that are playing their premier ball right now. I would even throw maybe Georgia in there as well. I mean, they've got an absolute difference maker in Charlie Condon, who's probably going to be the first pick in the draft later this month or next month. So, you know, this is it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. I would imagine that North Carolina is able to handle business this weekend and get into Omaha, obviously with what happened at Arizona and then being upset by West Virginia. So, we'll see kind of how it all shakes out. But, I wouldn't want to face North Carolina. And the fact that LSU was able to take them to their final three outs, they were able to kind of make it a game against Tennessee in the SEC tournament final. They only lost by one run in that game. I think it just shows you, man, like they were playing their best ball at the end of the year. They just didn't make some of the plays at the very end there to kind of extend their season, but really nothing to hang their hats on with the way they finished. I thought that they really showed that they are a team that's on the rise and will have a lot of founding pieces coming back next year.
Glenn, along with your work on go247.com on LSU baseball, what else you got going on the website right now that's nice and spicy?
Oh, yeah. We've got plenty of recruiting. We don't sleep in June. We sleep in July over for recruiting football-wise. You know, LSU's got a bunch of camps and clinics coming up. They've got official visitors on campus pretty much through the month of June. So we'll have all that covered over at Go247. But really appreciate you guys always reaching out and happy to come on anytime.
Glenn, keep an eye on that transfer portal stuff because I got a feeling that Jay Johnson's going to make at least a couple splashes. It feels like it happens every offseason, so we'll see what happens
there. Stuff in the works already, I promise you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be keeping an eye on it, for sure.
Awesome stuff, Glenn. You have a great night. Appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Glenn.
That's Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Check out all the great work there. I want to hit up our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line. Actually, we'll break first and then come back to your calls, 504-260-1870. Back with more sports talk right after this here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, checking in on that Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line. We got Jimmy in a monsoon. Man, I hope you're doing all right.
Hey, man, listen, I wanted to call in because this might be my last call ever. I'm catching hell out here in the monsoon, brother. It's getting bad. It's getting nasty. I'm writing my will out as I speak. You know, I'm going to give this Alex Agenza jersey. I think it's going to go to a one and only Charlie Long.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I'm sorry, guys. And it's Steve Geller. I'm going to give you the Aaron Brooks jersey, brother.
There you go.
I've been holding on to that. And my kids are going to be very disappointed to know that I'm giving it to you guys. But you guys are the local fans. So, no, but look, all kidding aside, I hope everybody stays safe tonight in this weather, especially on the North Shore. I heard a meet and St. Tammany got some trees down and this and that. But look, and Charlie, you know, there were high hopes for UL with baseball, and they were ranked pretty high there. Then Southern Miss came on my team, and then LSU came out of nowhere. And I was rooting for LSU. Okay, my wife went there, but I was rooting for them. And I don't know what happened on that play where the dude lost it and it, like, I don't know. It was almost like the Jose Canseco play where it bounced off his head. And it's just like it's a game of inches. The thing about baseball, I'll just say this, and this is probably why I'm more of a football fan. However, I will say, I think it was it Tommy Tanks on third who made that decision? I think it might have been Sunday to let that ball go foul.
Yeah.
No, that was last night. Know. It was that bunt. Jimmy, that was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I'll say this, that play right there was beautiful, okay? For that guy to make that quick nanosecond decision to say, I'm going to let that ball keep rolling. Now, had that ball stayed in fair, it would have blown the game open. That was an amazing play. Now, again, I'm a football fan, probably first and foremost of the big three sports, and you guys know I love the Pelicans and all that stuff. But, you know, baseball's an acquired taste for me. And I know the ones who love baseball really love baseball. And again, that was a beautiful play, and it really kind of with that play, I saw why people love baseball, because it was for him to make such a quick decision and the right decision. It was amazing. I turned to my wife and was like, "That was crazy good." But the thing about baseball, which frustrates me, is you know, like you could show up to a baseball park, get a beer, get some peanuts or whatever, and by the time you sit down, it, like second inning, you're parked and all that. You barely get that. You get there a little late. You might be down six runs, and that's the frustrating part for me. It's like, man, how can I get invested in a game that, you know, it's predicated on pitching? Obviously, hitting matters a lot, but I mean, if you have pitching, strong pitching, you have a chance every game, and you know, it's just, and sometimes your ace pitcher, you know, just throws a really bad game or starts the game off and he's out before you you even sit down at the ballpark. And that's unlike football, where it's like, you know, we kind of all kind of know what the Saints, give or take, are going to be next year, right? We kind of, I mean, you guys, I'm not saying, listen, y'all are the flagship. I know Bobby Aber's got to pump a little sunshine. I get it. We got to be excited. I'm not saying they're going to be terrible, but I think it's safe to say most Saints fans think that we're going to be kind of like, you know, middle of the pack. You know, if some things go well, we stay healthy, get some turnovers, we might win 10 games, maybe.
Sure.
And on the contrary to that, we might win 8. And if we really have a lot of bad injuries at key positions, it could be a 6 or 7 win season. So, yeah, look, listen, you know, that's why I love football. And, you know, hey, look, the Garrett Nussmeier era has begun. I'm looking forward to seeing this dude. He's waited his turn. And, you know, good luck to Jaden Daniels. But, look, y'all be safe on the way out of there, because this weather's nasty out here.
You got it, Jimmy. Hey, listen, I'll take you up on that Alexia Jinxa jersey. That's good stuff. I was joking with Jimmy that, you know, I remember Alexia Jinxa and, like, Omar Asik, the Turkish Terminator. You remember with the old Pelicans big men. And
yeah,
oh,
the
man.
Turkish Hammer, I think, is the nickname.
Oh, God. The Pelicans have a pretty poor history of big men, but that's besides the point. Jimmy, to your point about, you know, baseball is a game of inches, and you're 100% right. That play last night in the game against UNC where Tommy White is just watching this ball roll down the line, right?
Go fair.
And then it just hits a bounce, and it just, like, diverts randomly to the left, and it goes out of bounds right before the third base bag. It's one of the weirdest plays I've seen. It was like, there's no way this ball is going foul, and then it just so happened to go foul. And that was a game-changing play. Similarly, we talked about Jake Brown losing the ball in the lights. Once again, game of inches. He lost it. He missed it by like a very close margin. Ends up, you know, being the game-winning run. So, yeah, I mean, baseball is, he said it's an acquired taste. I can understand that. I adore baseball. And all the weird intricacies that come with it, Steve. I know you do, too.
Yeah, sadly for me, though, my kiddo, not really into baseball, definitely more of a football, basketball guy. For him, he just gets bored and finds the, if it's a pitching duel going on or not enough offense being put up, definitely not interested. He'll pass by, go, oh, yeah, LSU's winning, great. Or, oh, man, they got to come back. Let's go Tigers. But sitting down invested into a baseball game has not happened, unless I did take him to Yankee Stadium, and he wants to go back to that. So at least I got that going for me.
One of my buddies lives up in Chicago, and he's telling me that he gets to just go to Cubs games on like random Wednesday or Thursday afternoons. I'm like, I hate you.
Just going to head to the ballpark.
Oh, man.
Right?
Like, I'm so jealous. I would love to be able to do that. But
that's one thing I do miss with the baby cakes not being around anymore. Thirsty Thursdays at the Shrine on Airline were a good time. I don't care if it's minor league baseball or not. I love being at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to take a break, wrap things up on this edition of Sports Talk right after this here on WWL. Well, folks, if you have a Taylor Swift fan in your life, you can be their hero. Win a pair of tickets to see Tay in the UK. Odyssey and WWL have your once-in-a-lifetime chance. A trip for four to London, England to see Taylor Swift. That's August 17th, so coming up right around the corner with a four-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare. Enter to win. Just go and download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to WWL for at least 1 hour, only one entry per day too, and we made it real easy for you to enter to win. Just click on Taylor's picture on the front page at WWL.com. That's the Tay in the UK National Contest. Special thanks to Republic Records. Log in and listen now to WWL. Looking at the, talking about contests, Charlie, have you ever been a winner in something like a major to tickets or
a
lottery, anything?
No, but I don't even know why I just started thinking about this, Steve. But, man, I want to go to Omaha one day. You know, like, I haven't been. I haven't been to the College World Series, and I want to go at some point.
Last year would have been nice.
No, last year would have been a lot of fun. And, you know, once again, all the elimination games that LSU won in Omaha last year. I think if my Cajuns make it back, I'll definitely make a trip out there, but we'll have to plan that out in the future. So, Steve, we'll talk a little bit about this on Thursday. I want to just throw this out to you. If you're looking at the bracket right now, we reset it earlier on in the show, talked about all the matchups in the Super Regional round. Who you got in Omaha? Like, if you're looking at it right now, once again, Evansville, Tennessee, Florida State, UConn, Kansas State, Virginia, West Virginia, UNC, Texas A&M, Oregon, Florida, Clemson, Georgia, NC State, Kentucky, Oregon State are the final 16 teams remaining.
I'm definitely, obviously, curious to see what happens with the SEC teams, who ends up punching their ticket to Omaha and who ends up being left behind. For me, a team like Florida is a big question mark. I know they kind of got in by the skin of their teeth almost, and just curious to see what they can do and what kind of noise they can end up making here now, more in this super regional round of play.
Well, that's a fun question too, is that the SEC teams aren't paired with each other.
Right.
In super regional. So Tennessee's playing Evansville, who's a 4 seed out of the Greenville regional. Kentucky's playing Oregon State. Georgia's playing NC State in a battle of, both those are battles of two top 16 national seeds. Florida's going to Clemson after winning the Stillwater regional, and then A&M's hosting Oregon. So, I mean, how many teams of those five make it? I would say probably, Steve, if you're asking me
There's
to make the prediction right now,
four, right?
I would say at least three, if not four. That the kind of question marks there are Kentucky, Oregon State. I think is going to be a really fun weekend series. I'm looking forward to that. And then Georgia and NC State, I'm also really looking forward to as well. But Florida, Clemson, that could be up in the air. I think that they split those two, Kentucky and Georgia. One of those two teams at least will make it. So then I also have all the faith in A&M beating Oregon and Tennessee beating Evansville. So I think the floor for the amount of SEC teams in Omaha is three. I think the ceiling, you know, once again, potentially five. We'll have to see.
That'd be wild if it ends up being every SEC team in super regional action ends up advancing. Very curious to see, obviously, what happens with North Carolina. No, I know they got a matchup coming up against West Virginia.
Yep. UNC, I think, is definitely favored to make it out. Same thing with Virginia. Virginia won the Charlottesville regional. Their offense is fantastic. They don't have the best pitching. They're going against Kansas State, a very talented bunch. But I think you could see that matchup, Virginia and UNC in Omaha.
Make sure you tune into tomorrow's sports talk. Besides OTA talk, heavy duty, big announcement to make. That'll be right at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. Back here on Sports Talk, checking in on that Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We got Jimmy in a monsoon. Man, I hope you're doing all right.
Hey, man, listen, I wanted to call in because this might be my last call ever. I'm catching hell out here in the monsoon, brother. It's getting bad. It's getting nasty. I'm writing my will out as I speak. You know, I'm going to give this Alex Agenza jersey. I think it's going to go to a one and only Charlie Long.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I'm sorry, guys. And it's Steve Geller. I'm going to give you the Aaron Brooks jersey, brother.
There you go.
I've been holding on to that. And my kids are going to be very disappointed to know that I'm giving it to you guys, but you guys are the local fans. So, no, but look, all kidding aside, I hope everybody stays safe tonight in this weather, especially on the North Shore. I heard a meet and St. Tammany got some trees down and this and that. But look, and Charlie, you know, so, there were high hopes for UL with baseball, and they were ranked pretty high there. Then Southern Miss came on my team, and then LSU came out of nowhere. And I was rooting for LSU. Okay, my wife went there, but I was rooting for them. And I don't know what happened on that play where the dude lost it. And it, like, I don't know, it was almost like the Jose Canseco play where it bounced off his head. And it's just like, it's a game of inches. The thing about baseball, I'll just say this, and this is probably why I'm more of a football fan. However, I will say, I think it was it Tommy Tanks on third who made that decision? I think it might have been Sunday. To let that ball go foul.
Yeah.
No, that was last night. Know. It was that bunt. Jimmy, that was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I'll say this. That play right there was beautiful. Okay. For that guy to make that quick nanosecond decision to say, I'm gonna let that ball keep rolling. Now, had that ball stayed in fair, it would have blown the game open. That was an amazing play. Now, again, I'm a football fan, probably first and foremost of the big three sports, and you guys know I love the Pelicans and all that stuff. But, you know, baseball's an acquired taste for me, and I know the ones who love baseball really love baseball. And again, that was a beautiful play, and it really kind of – with that play, I saw why people love baseball, because it was – for him to make such a quick decision and the right decision – it was amazing. I turned to my wife and was like, that was crazy good. But the thing about baseball, which frustrates me, is, you know, like you could show up to a baseball park, get a beer, get some peanuts or whatever, And by the time you sit down, it like second inning, you're parked and all that. You barely get that. You get there a little late. You might be down six runs. And that's the frustrating part for me. It's like, man, how can I get invested in a game that, you know, it's predicated on pitching. Obviously, hitting matters a lot. But, I mean, if you have pitching, strong pitching, you have a chance every game. And, you know, it's just – and sometimes your ace pitcher, you know, just throws a really bad game or starts the game off and he's out before you even sit down at the ballpark. And that's – unlike football where it's like, you know, we kind of all kind of know what the Saints, give or take, are going to be next year, right? We kind of – I mean, you guys – I'm not saying – listen, y'all are the flagship. I know Bobby Abreu's got to pump a little sunshine. I get it. We got to be excited. I'm not saying they're going to be terrible, but I think it's safe to say most Saints fans think that we're going to be kind of like, you know, middle of the pack. You know, if some things go well, we stay healthy, get some turnovers, we might win 10 games, maybe.
Sure.
And on the contrary to that, we might win 8. And if we really have a lot of bad injuries at key positions, it could be a 6 or 7 win season. So, yeah, listen. You know, that's why I love football. And, you know, hey, look, the Garrett Nussmeier era has begun. I'm looking forward to seeing this dude. He's waited his turn. And, you know, good luck to Jaden Daniels. But, look, y'all be safe on the way out of there because this weather's nasty out here.
You got it, Jimmy. Hey, listen, I'll take you up on that Alexia Jinxa jersey. That's good stuff. I was joking with Jimmy that, you know, I remember Alexia Jinxa and, like, Omar Asik, the Turkish Terminator. You remember with the old Pelicans big men. And
yeah,
oh,
the
man.
Turkish Hammer, I think, is the nickname.
Oh, God. The Pelicans have a pretty poor history of big men, but that's besides the point. Jimmy, to your point about, you know, baseball is a game of inches, and you're 100% right. That play last night in the game against UNC where Tommy White is just watching this ball roll down the line, right?
Go fair.
And then it just hits a bounce, and it just like diverts randomly to the left, and it goes out of bounds right before the third base bag. It's one of the weirdest plays I've seen. It was like, there's no way this ball is going foul, and then it just so happened to go foul. And that was a game-changing play. Similarly, we talked about Jake Brown losing the ball in the lights. Once again, game of inches. He lost it. He missed it by a very close margin. Ends up, you know, being the game-winning run. So, yeah, I mean, baseball is, he said it's an acquired taste. I can understand that. I adore baseball. And all the weird intricacies that come with it, Steve. I know you do too.
Yeah, sadly for me, though, my kiddo, not really into baseball, definitely more of a football, basketball guy. For him, he just gets bored and finds the, if it's a pitching duel going on or not enough offense being put up, definitely not interested. He'll pass by, go, oh, yeah, LSU's winning, great. Or, oh, man, they got to come back. Let's go Tigers. But sitting down invested into a baseball game has not happened unless I did take him to Yankee Stadium, and he wants to go back to that. So at least I got that going for me.
One of my buddies lives up in Chicago, and he's telling me that he gets to just go to Cubs games on random Wednesday or Thursday afternoons. I'm like, I hate you.
Just gonna head to the ballpark.
Oh man,
right?
I'm so jealous. I would love to be able to do that. But
that's one thing I do miss with the baby cakes not being around anymore. Thirsty Thursdays at the Shrine on Airline were a good time. I don't care if it's minor league baseball or not. I love being at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna take a break. Wrap things up on this edition of Sports Talk right after this here on WWL. Well, folks, if you have a Taylor Swift fan in your life, you can be their hero. Win a pair of tickets to see Tay in the UK. Odyssey and WWL have your once-in-a-lifetime chance. A trip for four to London, England to see Taylor Swift. That's August 17th, so coming up right around the corner with a four-night hotel stay and round-trip airfare. Enter to win. Just go and download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to WWL for at least 1 hour, only one entry per day too, and we made it real easy for you to enter to win. Just click on Taylor's picture on the front page at WWL.com. That's the Tay in the UK National Contest. Special thanks to Republic Records. Log in and listen now to WWL. Looking at the, talking about contests, Charlie, have you ever been a winner in something like a major to tickets or
no.
Lottery, anything?
No, but I don't even know why I just started thinking about this, Steve. But, man, I want to go to Omaha one day. You know, like, I haven't been. I haven't been to the College World Series. And I want to go at some point.
Last year would have been nice.
No, last year would have been a lot of fun. And, you know, once again, all the elimination games that LSU won in Omaha last year. I think if my Cajuns make it back, I'll definitely make a trip out there. But we'll have to plan that out in the future. So, Steve, we'll talk a little bit about this on Thursday. I wanted to just throw this out to you. If you're looking at the bracket right now, we reset it earlier on in the show, talked about all the matchups in the Super Regional round. Who you got in Omaha? Like, if you're looking at it right now, once again, Evansville, Tennessee, Florida State, UConn, Kansas State, Virginia, West Virginia, UNC, Texas A&M, Oregon, Florida, Clemson, Georgia, NC State, Kentucky, Oregon State are the final 16 teams remaining.
I'm definitely obviously curious to see what happens with the SEC teams, who ends up punching their ticket to Omaha and who ends up being left behind. For me, a team like Florida is a big question mark. I know they kind of got in by the skin of their teeth almost, and just curious to see what they can do and what kind of noise they can end up making here now, more in this super regional round of play.
Well, that's a fun question too, is that the SEC teams aren't paired with each other.
Right.
In super regional. So Tennessee's playing Evansville, who's a four seed out of the Greenville regional. Kentucky's playing Oregon State. Georgia's playing NC State in a battle of, both those are battles of two top 16 national seeds. Florida's going to Clemson after winning the Stillwater Regional, and then A&M's hosting Oregon. So, I mean, how many teams of those five make it? I would say probably, Steve, if you're asking me
There's
to make
a good
the prediction
chance
right now,
four, right?
I would say at least three, if not four. That the kind of question marks there are Kentucky, Oregon State. I think it's going to be a really fun weekend series. I'm looking forward to that. And then Georgia and NC State, I'm also really looking forward to as well. But Florida, Clemson, that could be up in the air. I think that they split those two, Kentucky and Georgia. One of those two teams at least will make it. So then I also have all the faith in A&M beating Oregon and Tennessee beating Evansville. So I think the floor for the amount of SEC teams in Omaha is three. I think the ceiling, you know, once again, potentially five. We'll have to see.
That'd be wild if it ends up being every SEC team in super regional action ends up advancing. Very curious to see, obviously, what happens with North Carolina. No, I know they got a matchup coming up against West Virginia.
Yep. UNC, I think, is definitely favored to make it out. Same thing with Virginia. Virginia won the Charlottesville regional. Their offense is fantastic. They don't have the best pitching. They're going against Kansas State, a very talented bunch. But I think you can see that matchup, Virginia and UNC in Omaha.
Make sure you tune into tomorrow's sports talk. Besides OTA talk, heavy duty, big announcement to make. That'll be right at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.